Ah, oh, so welcome, friends. Good to be together. Midweek, midday, a precious pause to gather with like-hearted friends to cultivate presence and care, something that seems particularly timely given, you know, the climate of tension that often begins to collect as we approach elections. I know there's a lot in the field for folks, as I've been sitting with folks in the last week or so, and this is our chance to really be present. Present with all of what might be here, personally and collectively, and to trust this heart's capacity, right? This capacity to be with it all. The messiness of life. And that our freedom, those moments of balance, of perspective, of ease or acceptance, of equanimity, are available, like right here, right now. They're in the mix too. And this pausing often allows us to start to touch them. Yeah. So, gifting yourself a soft landing into this moment. Letting yourself find a posture that is caring and supportive for you to practice. There might be some gentle movements that help the body loosen and land. The invitation is to really discover your posture, not just sort of rigidly freeze yourself into the posture, but to let it unfold. Let yourself be in lived relationship with the body in this moment. So feeling those touch points between your body and the floor, your body and the chair or the cushion. And from this place of support, allowing a literal or perhaps an energetic extension of the spine. Feeling into the strength and support offered by the back body. And the alertness and the energy that comes from that slight lift through the crown of the head. And feeling how the lift supports a deeper loosening, a softening and a settling into the support. The capacity for the muscles to hang on the structure and the stability of the skeleton. Releasing any unnecessary efforting. Relaxing through the knotted places, the muscles of the face and jaw, letting shoulders melt away from the ears. Palms softening, hands at rest. The belly relaxed and open. The lower body at ease. You might gift yourself 1 more slow, loving sweep through the body, as if your awareness was a warm sunbeam offering its caring attention to each part of the body in turn. And on this second sweep, inviting any additional amount of settling that's possible. As your awareness touches each part of the body, inviting a deeper intimacy and inhabiting of the body in this moment. resting the mind on the steadiness of the body, inviting the thinking muscle to also begin to relax. This mind that can grip or cling to stories or ideas, thoughts and fears, just for this next little while, inviting the thinking muscle to also rest. To whatever degree that's possible. One of the ways we can support the mind in resting, relaxing, is to offer it something relatively simple to focus on. If it works for you today, the breath is often a relatively simple, relatively neutral home base. To gather the awareness towards just this next breath. letting yourself become intimate, interested in the quality of this next breath. Breath can be a mirror for the quality of the mind. Sometimes when the activity of the mind speeds up, so does the breath. Or if we're ruminating, sometimes the breath becomes shallow. Sometimes we even find ourselves holding our breath. So if or when you notice something about the breath, be curious. Just notice what it might be bringing to your attention, and not with the spirit of thinking about it or analyzing it, just a simple noticing, an opening to what the next breath feels like in the body. And breaths like this, just like this. As you come in close to the breath, and through the breath, perhaps come in close to the body. One of the things that's sometimes noticeable is that the breath, the body, is rarely one thing. One unified experience. Often we notice pockets of tension and pockets of ease. A sense of both expansion and some measure of contraction in a breath. A sense of comfort and discomfort in the body. Let yourself explore quality of intimacy and inclusivity for experience that's here. Can there be an awareness generous enough to hold all dimensions of experience, pleasant and unpleasant? A spaciousness that is welcoming. It's like this. As we come into the final minutes of our practice together today, feeling into how this capacity for settling and softening and this capacity for intimacy and inclusivity might be carried into the world of connections and relationships, knotted places in the social body or the political body, and how our own steadiness might serve as a place that inspires pausing and peace, clarity and care. A way of supporting a world where all beings might know a measure of safety, peace, ease, and freedom. May it be so. Lovely to be together, and you know, we've been the last couple of weeks exploring wise action that sort of emerged out of that fifth remembrance that we were working with of, you know, my actions are my only true belongings. There's no way to escape the consequences of my actions. They are the ground upon which I stand. And last week we worked a little bit with this micro practice of, you know, strong back, soft belly, open heart as a way of meeting the world. And something in that, and I think where maybe we went in a comment or two, sort of brought us to the upcoming election and this sense of how do we have equanimity in the face of these knotted places in our society. You know, we work with the knotted places internally. We work with our relationship with the knotted places, you know, the tension in the shoulder or the tightness in the jaw or the contraction of the fear. And this practice has application out in the world, right? Because there's tensions and knots in our relationships and in our larger circles of connection. And so that practice of, you know, strong back, soft belly, is one of the ways we can meet the world. to feel the strength of being rooted, of being here. Being here allows for the possibility of clear seeing, so that we're relating with what's here, even if we don't like with what's here. Relating with what's here versus the story of what's here, because we often embellish with additional details or predictions when we're looking at things. So the rootedness of being in that strong back is really pointing us to being here. And the soft belly of like releasing to whatever degree is possible. And both of those things can help us keep a more open heart, which allows the possibility to be in relationship. And I was really touched, Ellen, last time when you shared just that conversation in the dining hall with someone who had a very different perspective than you, and to share in a way that was like, well, you know, I see things a little differently, and you shared a little, and like this person actually listened, you know, and it wasn't that you were sharing with an agenda, but it was like there was, I could hear in your telling of that, like enough steadiness that there was an openness to, oh, there's a person sitting with me, not just a view. I'm not having dinner with a view. I'm having a dinner with a person that has a viewpoint, right? And that allows for the possibility of relating. And one of the qualities that supports equanimity, in addition to this embodiment, this feeling of stability and openness, is that capacity to hold opposites, to hold paradox, to hold complexity, both and. You know, I was lightly inviting or pointing to that in the practice, both and. It's true even in the body, even in a breath, like something as simple as the breath can actually have a quality of expansion and simultaneously some sense of holding or bracing. It's very interesting to watch. And there's often those of us, you know, who really pay attention to the body, most of the time there are places of comfort and discomfort in the body at the same time. Yeah, and that capacity to hold the fullness of reality helps us in these more complicated situations. How might I hold moving into the election? This isn't about your views or, you know, your politics. How do I hold both the hope and the fear? How might I hold a clarity about my own values and a curiosity or respect to know what's motivating this person? You know, how can we, as we talked about, I think it was also last week, you know, how can we open to the possibility of being in right relationship rather than being right? Which is, you know, we just want to be right, don't we? It's so human. And it often closes the door to any connection or dialogue. And this is deep practice. This is really hard practice. And it's one that you can explore. Do I want to pick it up? You know, when can I open to it? But our practice invites us to become bridges rather than barriers. I really think that that's true. And Ken Wilber has this to say about, you know, boundaries, which is one of the ways we barricade. And it's not to say boundaries don't have their place. That's not where I'm going with this. But he says, the simple fact is that we live in a world of conflict and opposites because we live in a world of boundaries. Since every boundary line is also a battle line, here is the human predicament. The firmer one's boundaries, the more entrenched are one's battles. The more I hold on to pleasure, the more I necessarily fear pain. The more I pursue goodness, the more I am obsessed with evil. The more I seek success, the more I must dread failure. The harder I cling to life, the more terrifying death becomes. The more I value anything, the more I obsess I become with its loss. Most of our problems, in other words, are problems of boundaries and the opposites they create. So both and is a perspective that allows for us to skillfully navigate these boundaries and battles. And I do want to be clear that boundaries in the face of situations that might be potentially harmful to us, that's not what this is pointing to. This is pointing to that polarization that can happen where we cling to something and can't allow any space for the opposite. And it often generates a sense of fear or territoriality, you know. And so this is something to add into the mix, just to see, and to see if there's a way to open to difference, difficulty, discomfort, without getting lost in it. You know, that's the quality of equanimity. Right? To open to it and not get totally tangled in it. It's like this. That's the quality of equanimity. It's like this, whether it's, oh, the body's like this in this moment, the breath is like this, the mind is like this. Oh, the mind is really agitated and busy and it's just gnawing on this. Okay, can I just be equanimous with or offer a quality of acknowledgement? The mind's like this and not really get ensnared with it. If I start judging it, if I try to change it, if I try to argue with it, that's actually more energy, that's more spin. So equanimity is again resting into that strong back. You know, it's like, okay, I see you. And I think we do a lot of this with, you know, politics. I'm watching people like check all the polls or hear all this and they get like really ensnared. And then that's okay. We don't even have to get upset with ourselves for that. It's like, oh, then we just let go. We just like pause for a moment. And I'm like, I'm going to lean back into this strong back and just start again and see. You know, because we don't know. The truth is we don't know. And this is just one, you know, this is just the manifestation of the moment of what we don't know about. And we may know some things, but we don't actually know the outcome of any given piece of this very complex puzzle. So we can come back to presence and care. And the care might be, you know, is there some action, some engagement, some way I want to participate in the next week? Is that in conversations? Is it in voting? Is it in all the ways that I know some people are volunteering? You know, it's, can you act from this place that's grounded and open? And this is just the latest, the most, perhaps one of the most immediate examples of what life offers us each and every day of how do I engage with what's here? And how do I do it in a way that allows my heart to have some measure of freedom? So I'll just pause here and gift you a little time with each other, and you can see if anything in here lands for your heart that you want to play with in your own practice. And we'll just take a little time to share with one another, and then we'll come back for a closing. So enjoy. I'll just see if there's anything from your conversations that wants to be shared, any insights, wisdom, curiosities. I love it. I love it. It's beautiful. And it's another manifestation of both and, you know, opening to the difficulty and opening to the beauty and letting them balance each other to whatever degree they can. So that's beautiful. I love that. I love that. I love it. Well, maybe in that spirit, I just opened one of my poetry books, and this is the poem that I opened to, and in the spirit of the birds, I'll close with this. It's entitled Blackbirds by Julie Caldwalder Staub. I'm 52 years old and have spent truly the better part of my life out of doors. But yesterday, I heard a new sound above my head, a rustling, ruffling quietness in the spring air. And when I turned my face upward, I saw a flock of blackbirds rounding a curve I didn't know was there. And the sound was simply all those wings, all those feathers against air, against gravity, and such a beautiful winning. The whole flock taking a long, wide turn, as if of one body and one mind. How do they do that? If we lived only in human society, what a puny existence that would be. But instead, we live and move and have our being here, in this curving and soaring world that is not our own, so that when mercy and tenderness triumph in our lives, and when, even more rarely, we unite and move together toward a common good, we can think to ourselves, ah, yes, this is how it's meant to be. May there be some unity in the coming week. Yes. Yes.